In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the last 2 weeks have been a roller coaster from everything is messed up and it's all your fault to everything is messed up and it's all your fault, but in His love for us, God has fixed it. Now we have to look at how this can possibly be true while dealing with the fact that the world is still so incredibly flawed. If God really has fixed our relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, why are things still so messed up? Why is there still so much suffering and brokenness in a world that has experienced God Himself in the flesh? The answer to this question has everything to do with love and free will. So, let's establish a couple of things. First, God loves us. From the moment of our creation, we have been the apple of His eye. He made us in His own image and likeness. He gave us dominion over everything He created, and it wasn't until we were created that God was able to look at all that He had made and say that it was very good. Even in disobedience, God never stopped loving. The first thing He does after punishing Adam and Eve by expelling them from the Garden of Eden was to make them clothes. And the simple fact that they were able to disobey God in the first place comes from God's love. We'll get back to that one. And then, as we discussed last week, God reached out to us in order that we might be reconciled to Him, first through Abraham and his descendants, and finally by sending His own Son to be born as one of us, that our very humanity could be redeemed. God's love for us is written into our very DNA, displayed throughout all of creation, and chronicled in the history of mankind through the Holy Scriptures. One of the first songs that many of us learned as children is, "Jesus loves me, this I know." This is the first and most important lesson that every Christian needs to learn because it is foundational. It underlies everything else, from our worship to our theology and even our faith itself. God loves us. And with that established, now we look at free will. As I said, it is because of His love that we are able to disobey Him. Because we are created with the unique quality of bearing the image and likeness of God, we have free will. We are able to choose beyond a set of instinctual behaviors and actions. We can choose to believe things that have no proof or basis in reality, and we can choose to deny things that are clearly evident. We can choose purely altruistic things solely for the benefit of another. We can even choose things that we know to be harmful to ourselves. For example, my mom used to tell me as a kid the temper tantrums that she would throw, and she said she would hold her breath until she literally passed out. I can't think of a more perfect illustration of the limits of our free will. Willfully choosing to suspend a necessary bodily function to the point where your brain takes away your control and forces you to breathe while unconscious. We have all kinds of choices we can make, taking into account or even ignoring the various outcomes and possibilities. And at the end of the day, each one of us is free to choose whether or not we believe God exists. We can choose to accept or deny His love that for so many of us is undeniable. Of course, then the question always seems to arise, well, then why doesn't God just make us love Him? He is God, after all. He could just thunder from heaven, tell us all that He is real, and demand that we worship Him and that we love Him. But think about it. He basically did that with the Israelites. And look what happened. In our reading today from Exodus, the Israelites have crossed a sea by land, been led by a pillar of fire, and eaten bread from heaven. God revealed himself to them pretty darn clearly. And still, we find them complaining and demanding water. This was the constant struggle between God and his people. Psalm 78. In spite of all this, they still sinned. Despite his wonders, they did not believe. So he made their days vanish like a breath and their years in terror. When he killed them, they sought him. They repented and sought God earnestly. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. But they flattered him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast toward him. They were not faithful to his covenant. This is no way to continue a relationship, with God having to constantly remind and discipline, as this constant cycle fails to produce any spiritual maturity or work to develop righteousness. Instead, God has chosen intimacy with his creation in order for us to learn to desire him and to grow in our love for him. But in this arrangement, there is a price. And that price is the uncertainty of a world influenced by the free will of flawed creatures. But St. Paul tells us that this uncertainty, which produces so much suffering, gives us an opportunity. In our reading from Romans, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Through the Holy Spirit, we are able to develop the kind of character that the Old Testament covenant did a poor job of producing. It was through what he suffered that Jesus was able to pay the price of sin, and it is through our own suffering that we become like him. And in the midst of all of this, God still does what God does. He cares for us, and he provides for us. The Israelites in the wilderness demanded water, and they were given water. The woman at the well was shown something far greater when Jesus told her of the living water that he would provide, and she asked for that water, and he revealed to her that he was the Messiah. God is with us through all of our trials and difficulties, always working to bring forth good from what we endure. And the requirement is still the same as always: faith. So where are we now? Everything is messed up and it's all your fault, but in his love for us, God fixed it by entering into creation and drawing us into relationship with himself. There's more to it, and we'll explore that in our children's sermon next week. But for now, I think we're in a pretty good place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.